You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
The time is now 4 o'clock and it's a highlight for me yet again.
Yes, you know, one day I'm going to walk in the studio and you go, Jeff, it's so good to see you, and you're going to mean it, you know. And instead of looking at and throwing the eyes and rolling the eyes and sort of pushing me outside the door and putting your foot in my stomach and just trying to keep me out while Janet throws me back in. One day. But I'll live for that day, you know.
And hell will freeze over.
I realize that. Mm. Yeah.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello. Ernest Khan. How the hell are you?
I'm bloody good, Richard. Thank you so much for asking. I'm having a good day.
Are you? I'm so happy that you are, and I'm delighted to see you.
Yeah, I'm sure
As always. I mean, I live for these moments. I really do. It's about life, love, and pawpaws.
You're going to run out of other stuff eventually down the years, you know.
Well, pawpaw is part of fruit salad.
It is a pawpaw.
A big part of fruit salad. I mean, what is a fruit salad without pawpaw?
Well, it depends. It's a pawpawless fruit salad. Because you can have a fruit salad without pawpaw. I mean, it's not impossible. It's not recommended, but it's not impossible.
Well, there we go. Yeah. So, what are you on about? Why are you complaining?
I'm not complaining. You're the one who's always complaining. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're the one complaining.
Okay. I never complain. Fix your microphone.
It's fixed now.
Okay.
Here we go.
Hello. All right. So, serious subject.
Once again. Yeah. But I'm going to look at it from a little bit of a different angle today. You know, we have these conversations and we jest up front and we do have these serious topics. But we want to try and help people.
Yes.
So today, we've got the topic on divorce, and it's not a great time of your life, and it's a hard subject to talk about because everybody's story is different, and everybody's divorce is different. As we know, we've discussed it before many, many times. But I've got a little bit of a different slant on here. I do want to ask a few questions out there today.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the question in your title here is freedom or failure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because society looks at you and says, well, you're a failure.
You just freed yourself.
Or you seem to say to yourself, I've freed myself. Yeah. But is it, how do we look at it? I mean, after a nasty divorce, you get good divorces, let's call it that way, or less acrimonious divorces. People just decide not to be together. I'm sure you know one of those. And you get a really nasty court case, 2, 3, 4, 5 million rands worth of legal fees and threatening and things done to your car and, you know, arson. You get from one side to the other. Okay, so I wanted to talk about that today. I also want to talk about how do we support our friends that may be going through it. Maybe you're not going through it, but you know somebody in your circle or somebody in your group of friends that's actually going through it. So I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about the elephant there in the room there is, what happens when you're friends with both of the couple, when you're friends with both of them? Well, how do you handle that? I want to talk about that. And how do you handle helping a friend that's going through a divorce that has kids, and the kids are involved, and you possibly, you know, known to the kids, and you're involved in the family, and then all of a sudden this thing comes up. So let's ask a few questions first and make it interesting. So is a divorce a sign that you failed, or is it a sign that you finally chose yourself? You know, oh, that's an interesting question. Most people look at you and say, oh, you failed your divorce, and I'm sorry you're going through this, but, you know, this and that. And they don't realize what you've been through to get to the point where you say, I'm out of here. Because it can be many years of marriage, or it can be 6 months of marriage, or it can be 35, 40 years of marriage before you decide that you want to get out and that. So that's one question. And why does the society shame people for choosing their peace over a broken marriage? Society can be quite cruel and look at people differently and shame them and judge them. I don't think that should be the case, and I want to bring that up today because I think we need to look at divorce and our friends that are going through this thing in a different way. So the other question is, can two good people just grow apart? It doesn't mean one's bad and the other one's good. You know, two good people can just decide not to be with each other anymore. And why should they feel guilty for that? I don't think that's necessary to feel guilty. But we do, obviously. We do. Especially when the kids are involved. So is staying in a loveless marriage more harmful than divorce? I would say absolutely. You can't grow in that environment. And things do go wrong. And you are going to hurt the other person. There's no doubt. How do we define success in a relationship? By its longevity or its quality? It's always about quality here with this thing. I mean, you can say you've been in the marriage for 40 years, but I've been unhappy for 35. I mean, is that a win? No, that's not a win. And anybody out there who's possibly listening, if you want to say something, please send in your views on this, because, you know, we learn from each other, and that's how we go. Can divorce be the healthiest decision for children? Now, it might seem like a very stupid question, of course not, but can be if the parents are fighting and they're seeing all this arguing and shouting and screaming and all this stuff that goes on in a nasty relationship. The best thing possibly could be to get them out of that, from away from that nonsense. And why do we still view divorce as taboo when it's often a powerful act of self-care? It's not an easy thing to decide. For a lot of people, it's not easy to decide to leave. It's not easy. But you need to love yourself enough to make that decision if you are really seriously unhappy and that relationship cannot be fixed. You need to do everything, obviously, to fix the relationship. You've got to go through the counseling. You've got to try. And a lot of people don't, and they decide, bang, I'm out of here. But if you have kids, obviously you need to, you owe it to them to make sure that the two of you, try and get it together. And I do a bit of counseling on this stuff. And let me tell you, most of the people that I counsel, when by the time they get to me, they've already decided it's over. And it's a last resort. And we're doing it just for the hell of it. So here's another question. Have you ever left a marriage and found a better version of yourself on the other side? Maybe not initially when you're going through the divorce, but when it's all over and you're done and you're back on your feet and you're building a new life, I think you probably find a better version of yourself. Do you think couples should celebrate divorce the way they celebrate weddings? Well, I don't know. I don't know how you feel about that, Rich, but I don't think any divorce should be celebrated. But I think the healing of people should be celebrated. So the divorce is always nasty and not in levels. But celebrate it? No. It's not something to be celebrated unless you get out of a really nasty, violent, kind of relationship that, you know, thank goodness you're out and now you can build your life and have a normal life and be absolutely normal again. The other question is staying married out of fear worse than leaving out of courage? No, of course. Of course it is. Don't stay in somewhere where you're scared. I mean, all kinds of things are going to go through your system, the stress, you're going to get ill. It's all kinds of stuff. It's obviously, who defines failure in a relationship, society or the people living in it? Absolutely the people living in it. You decide as a couple, what are you going to do? Don't let other people decide for you. Are you really breaking vows if the person you become no longer fits who you were? So you change, and especially when people get married when they're young, when they're 20 or 21, 22. You're a different person at 35 or 32. So do you stay in that relationship or do you say, well, look, we've grown apart or we've grown into other people? And we're not where we were when we were 20, 21, whatever it is, and it's time to move out. Another question that's banded around, Richard, is why do we celebrate marriage but mourn divorce? Even when it's a healthier choice. So people, society, they do judge you and they do look at you in a different way. Is it better to be alone and alive than partnered and dying inside? Absolutely much better to be alone than dying inside, because you can't do any good for yourself. And if you can't do good for yourself, you can't do good for others by dying inside. Absolutely not. Can ending a marriage actually be the ultimate act of love? If you see somebody is not happy and you've done everything to make sure that you're trying to get this thing working, but it's not, isn't it a gift to you and your partner, perhaps? So we should stop asking, why did you get divorced? And start asking, what did you learn from your divorce? What did you learn? There is a very good question for those people who have broken up. And divorces can be breaking up as well. It's not just because you're married and you break up. And what did I learn from that? What did I learn that I did wrong? What did I learn that the other person did that I didn't like? You need to build, and you need to ask those questions instead of flying into the next relationship. Are people more committed to the image of marriage than the truth of their relationship? We need to look at the truth and the reality of the relationship every now and so often together. Why do people fight to stay in something that's killing their joy? Just to avoid the label divorced. We spoke about it before. When we were kids at school, there were about one kid in the class that was divorced. And now there's 90% of the kids come from divorced homes. I think people are either growing. It's either getting easier to get divorced. I don't know. But I think people are looking after themselves a bit more. They're learning more about themselves. Okay, so and I want to start with these provocative questions because I think they're important. Is marriage a lifelong commitment? Or is it a seasonal partnership that sometimes expires? And obviously we know from the statistics that it's a seasonal partnership. And when we're going into it, we want to be there forever. Of course we do. We're committed. But if it starts going wrong, do we stay there and be unhappy or make the other person unhappy? Or do we realize that, you know what, it's just not working for us. It's time to leave. And it's fine, and we'll talk about it, and we'll go. And we'll work out whatever we need to work out. We'll be good to each other. And I think sometimes that's the most adult way of doing things. What if divorce isn't the problem, but an honest solution to a dishonest life? You know, you'll speak to a couple of them. How are you doing? Oh, we're doing great. Meanwhile, behind doors, you never know what goes on behind closed doors. They're having the worst time of their life, and they're fighting, and they don't talk to each other, and it's a nightmare. Are we addicted to suffering for the sake of keeping the family together? I don't know if you need to commit suicide by keeping the family together and being absolutely miserable and having a wasted life. I'm not sure that's a good thing. Well, that's just me. Why do we shame divorce but not the emotional neglect that leads to it? There are women out there, let's say there are women or men, I suppose, that are sitting at home being absolutely neglected. Husband's out, he's working and using the excuse, I'm bringing in the bacon, you've got everything you need. But there's no emotional connection. There's no togetherness. Would you rather be labeled a divorcee or live a lie for the rest of your life? There's a question. Are you staying because you love them or because you're scared to start over? Now, if you're scared to start over, you're actually quite wise to a point, because there's so much stuff that goes on with a divorce. And once you go through a divorce, there's so much stuff you don't even know about that's on the other side of that fence. When you walk through that door into that divorce area, there's stuff there you never knew existed. How you feel, the emotional stuff, the financial side. Does society care more about how long you stayed than how well you lived? They say, oh, we've been married for 35 years. Well, that's amazing. Well done. But 30 of them have been terrible for the couple. But we look at them and say how wonderful they are, how successful they are as a couple. Meanwhile, it might not be the truth. It might be, and that's amazing, but it might not be. Who really benefits when two unhappy people pretend everything is fine? Nobody benefits. They certainly don't. And who's more important? Here's a question that's going to cause a bit of chaos, but everybody's going to have a view on this. But is staying for the kids? just an excuse to avoid your own healing? Well, I don't know if it's to avoid the own healing, but it's a massive decision when you leave and the kids are involved. It's a big decision. And sometimes you make it without even thinking. It's an emotional decision that gets made overnight, and the guy leaves or the woman leaves, and it causes a lot of the turbulence in the wake of that decision. Can you love someone deeply and still know you're not meant to be together anymore? So can you love someone? I think you can love someone. I don't know about deeply, but realize you don't want to be with each other anymore. I'm not sure. I've never experienced that, but I'm sure it's possible. I'm sure it's absolutely possible. So those are the kind of the questions you need to ask yourself, and we all need to ask ourselves and need to ask people that perhaps are going through this divorce thing, are struggling with it a bit, are not happy, and we need to support our friends and our family that possibly will have to go down this road, and it's looking more and more like they're going to have to go down there. So supporting friends, there's some pointers here. First of all, it's very important to support your friends that are going through this. Do not disappear and run away because you know how to handle this. Okay, that's not a friend. Okay, so you have to listen. You have to be there for them and listen without judgment. Do not judge somebody who's going through the worst time of their life. Let them talk, let them vent, let them cry, or let them just sit in silence and stare at you. Avoid giving too much advice unless they ask you. Your advice from your experience is obviously important, but maybe they just don't want to hear that at the moment. And everybody's divorce or everybody's experience is different in this thing. Don't criticize the ex, even if they do. Emotions do shift there. Validate their feelings. Acknowledge their pain, confusion, anger, and relief. Okay, so those are massive emotions. So if you know what somebody going through divorce is going through, they're going through pain, they're going through confusion, they're going through anger, they will have relief, of course. And saying to somebody, that sounds like you're going through an incredibly hard time. And it goes a long way as a friend. Offer practical help, you know, childcare, meals, rides, paperwork support, perhaps little things to take them out a little bit, get them out of their house or flat or wherever they are. Help them organize and strategize a little bit. Respect their process. Everybody has got a different process on divorce. Some go quickly and some take 4, 5, 6, 7 years to get divorced. It's crazy, I know, but it is reality. Don't rush their healing or assume how they should feel. And avoid pushing them into dating or moving on. Don't do that to them because that confuses the issue. It confuses them. It's not fair on the person they're going to be dating. It's just avoid that. Get away from that. Be there in the long term. The hardest days often come after the paperwork is done. I always say Sunday when somebody's going through a divorce, Sunday afternoon is a very bad time for a divorcing or breaking up person. Check in, even if it's months later. You're not close friends, but just check in on them. Please maintain confidentiality as well, and be a safe place where they can open up without fear of gossip or somebody else hearing about your stuff. Encourage their self-care, suggest therapy and exercise and journaling, or just getting a weekend away. Whatever suits them. And don't make it about you. Avoid sharing your own breakup stories when they're trying to tell you theirs. Okay, keep the focus on their experience if you want to be a good mate. Normalize the grief process. Divorce is grief. It's a death. It is a death. There's a loss of a future, a routine, and an identity. So you've got to treat it like grief. And there's lots of stuff on grief. I think it's something I'd like to do in a future program, talk about grief as well and how to handle it. Let them grieve without rushing their healing is important. Celebrate their wins. They do something well, they get a promotion or something. Celebrate the new job, them reclaiming their boundaries, reclaiming some joy in their life. Celebrate that with them. Milestones as they get over this emotional stuff. help them reconnect with themselves, hobbies, passions, whatever it is. And then be careful of red flags. Watch out for people that, your friends that might have signs of depression or withdrawal or unhealthy coping. You know, it's all, there's a healthy coping and there's an unhealthy coping as well. And if concerned, suggest professional help every single time. Try and find them somebody to see. And I know it's difficult and sometimes you haven't got the finances for it, but find somebody who you can talk to. Respect their boundaries. If they don't want to talk, that's okay. It's fine. Let them know you're available when they're ready. If you are mutual friends of the couple, be Switzerland. Okay? Try not to take, you know, be neutral and supportive. But if you're going to take a side, then take a side. And then run with it and be that person's confidant. But don't spread messages or choose sides or say things nasty about the other person. It's just not, it's not cool. Create safe space for laughter. It's important to bring a bit of lightness and humor into this whole thing. It does relieve the pressure a little bit and help him feel a bit normal again. And be consistently available, not available every now and so often. Divorce can feel isolating, especially when the calls and the messages slow down, when the family disappears all of a sudden. All of a sudden you have this big, huge family and all of a sudden they're gone because you guys are getting divorced, everybody disappears. A quick thinking of you or thoughts with you is, you know, it makes a huge difference to that person. Respect their timeline. Don't gossip about their stories. Please don't do that. They're going to have an identity shift, so you need to support that. Understand they will have financial stress as well. They'll have mood swings. They'll be angry and they'll feel guilty. It's all these things. This is a hell of a thing to go through. So, you know, it's not a Mickey Mouse thing. And a decision to make here, you need to realize this stuff comes up. There's sadness, there's guilt, there's a little bit of hope coming up. You know, you've got to mark the important days for them, the anniversaries of the breakup, the court date, the first holiday alone. They are heavy, heavy days, and they might just need a friend. Help them rebuild their social life without getting too much involved in the dating game. My suggestion is to stay away from the dating game for as long as you feel hurt still. And psychologists say it's 18 months before you should even start having any serious, have friends around and meet people are fantastic and develop your social, you know, circle. But to date, men are very bad with this. Women are a lot better with this. I've always said that. 18 months, people, before you start feeling normal again after everything is done. And if you're supporting friends getting divorced with children, just be present and don't be pushy. Just being there is powerful. Don't pressure them into sharing anything about their stuff before they're comfortable. Without judgment, you must listen. Let them vent. It's a roller coaster they're going through. And support the kids. If you're close to the kids, offer them some stability. A fun outing, perhaps, or a babysitting for a few hours can be a massive help. And never, ever badmouth either parent in front of the kids. It's very important. Offer specific help. Respect their process. Encourage professional help. I'm going to say it again. Stick around. Be available for that person. And when you know the ex as a mutual friend, it also can be a bit tricky. So it adds another layer of complexity to this whole thing. And you've got to navigate around the two friendships that you have during divorce. It's quite difficult. So how do you support a friend while honoring your mutual connection with their ex? Neutral again. Stay kind. Set boundaries if needed. Okay. Don't talk about the divorce if you don't want, you know, about the other person. I think it's the bashing of the other partner in front of you is not really great. I hear you, and I know this is painful for you. I just want to support you without getting in the middle. You can be as absolutely straightforward as that. Keep it private, the information as well. And, well, he said that, and that can backfire on you as well later, okay? Especially when they're going to court and they're doing all kinds of stuff. Don't make assumptions about loyalty. Just being in touch doesn't mean betrayal that you speaking to the other. And the one of the couple will, if you're speaking to her ex or his ex, it can be seen as a betrayal because they can be in anger mode. And just be careful of that. Think of the kids, if you're involved in their lives. Kids benefit from adults who remain steady during the storm. So if you're steady for your friends' kids, that's also a good thing. And then finally, stay honest and stay human. You know, if your mutual friend, the ex, reaches out or asks questions, it's okay to say, you know what, I care about you both, and I'm trying to be respectful to everybody. I'm mostly just focused on being supportive and not taking sides. And I want you both to get out of this as unscathed as possible. Love you both. Can we talk about something else? And really, that's pretty much it, Richard. You know, there are a few hints there, a few questions that are being asked. But I think I really hope it helps some people while they're going through this terrible, terrible process. Yeah, that's it.
I think that what we've looked at is rather generic, though, because there are a lot of broad strokes here, and each divorce has specific circumstances that are going to make little twists and turns. But the generic principles that you've shared here are helpful, particularly the one where you're the friend in between. I mean, and the thing, too, is that when there is a divorce, it's not only devastating for the people, the couple, and the children possibly, it's devastating for the in-laws. It's sometimes devastating for the circle of friends. It's like there are a lot of people that are affected by this.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very difficult thing sometimes to navigate. But what makes it difficult is the variance in circumstances. So if you take, I mean, there are myriad of reasons for divorce. One is, you just outgrew each other.
Yep.
That's what happened with me. Just outgrew each other, and off you went. And I was lucky. I've said this before. I had a very amicable divorce. We're still good friends. Judy and Nicolette are still great buddies. There is no animosity whatsoever. But it was simply a matter of we outgrew each other.
Yep.
Okay.
Perfect.
But there would be a different set of circumstances if there is betrayal involved. There is, you know, the husband or the wife, the party was spending the money on things that were not, you know, things like. So each set of circumstances is different. And it's sometimes very difficult, I find, when somebody has done something that is, we talk about society, and we talk about how society labels divorced couples or doesn't label divorced couples and all that kind of thing. But you may have a very good friends who you are, you know, close to, and all of a sudden say the husband cheats on the wife. Sometimes very difficult to maintain a neutral position there.
Sure.
Very, very different, because you may feel as a person that what that guy did or that woman did is not right.
You can make a decision based on that, by the way. That is not a problem.
And that's what I'm getting at. So these guidelines are good, but you can take sides if you want to.
Yes, of course.
But it's sometimes easier when there is more of a personality clash, an outgrowing of each other, a set of circumstances that is not a betrayal of any kind.
You know what got me to this was that, I have friends are getting divorced at the moment, and all of a sudden the kids became strange, the older kids. Mm. The kids became strange. The family disappeared. People stopped phoning again. I don't think people know how to handle other people's divorce.
Yeah.
Let alone their own. Okay, let alone their own. But I don't think people know how to navigate that, what to say, what not to say, what to do, whether to go in and try and help or to stay away. I mean, I don't think people understand, and you only realize later in life when you've been through it a couple of times and you know you've helped a few people and that kind of stuff, or maybe you haven't. But I don't think the kids know understand how to handle it. I don't think adults know how to handle this thing. And I think we need to learn a little bit more how to handle this, because you can't have a friend and then the friend's gone because they don't quite know how to handle it. So sometimes you need to be honest and open and say, listen, I actually, even if it's mom and dad, I actually don't know how to handle this between the two of you. And I don't like to see you shouting at each other and whatever, but I don't know how to handle it. So if you can give me some guidance and we can set some boundaries, that would be great. Or you can have friends that say, listen, you guys are fighting. I love both of you. I respect both of you. I'm not involved in your relationship, but I'm not quite sure how to handle the two of you. So I'm going to step back for a while, and that's my boundary. Mm. If you need me, I'm here.
Yeah.
But we need to learn a little bit more how to help other people, because otherwise I think people think you're abandoning them as friends, and it's not the case. It's not the case.
You know, by the time they get to you for counseling, it's all over.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think the one thing that is overlooked, again, depending on the depth of the friendship, it's a casual acquaintance, maybe not so much. You know, if you get divorced, you get divorced. But when you've got a vested interest in a relationship, maybe sometimes as the friend, you're the one that needs to speak to a counselor.
Absolutely.
And say, listen, this is what's going on with my buddies here.
Yeah. How do I handle
this? How do I deal with this?
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a counselor, but a psychologist or anything like that. It's certainly got to be a neutral third party, possibly, that can just give you an objective view on maybe how to deal with it.
Or some pointers, you know. Yeah. Some pointers. How would you handle this? Because I'm struggling. My best mates that I see every weekend for a bride.
Yeah. And I love them both.
And
the kids are great. And, you know, for years we've been like, you know, and
every weekend together. We're boating. We go away.
All of a sudden, this is now falling apart at the seams.
How the hell do you handle this? Yeah.
The person, as the friend, you also suffer a sense of loss.
Well, you're getting divorced, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
you're divorcing from your friendship. Yeah. You know, it's a split.
And sometimes the way people deal with this, put their head in the sand, and then. And then hope everything goes by, and then in 10 years' time, oh geez, I haven't seen you for ages, and
lost a friend
since your divorce. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think that it's a very, very complex topic. But the question that you posed is freedom or failure.
Yeah,
and I think that it's going to sound weird. I don't think it's either.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
I don't think it's either. I don't think it's a failure.
Don't you think it's a mixture of both?
Ah, there we go. I don't think that a divorce is failure. I also don't see a divorce as freedom, because it doesn't matter if you have vested, and again, circumstances differ. If you're a battered husband or battered wife, then certainly there's freedom, but in a sense, but I don't see it as either or. I see it as a set of circumstances that needs to be managed on a very individual basis. And I think sometimes it's incumbent upon the couple that's getting divorced also trying to make their friends feel at ease with it.
Yeah, if they can.
If they can.
They're able to at the time.
And again, that's going to be the easier divorce. That's going to be the one where, you know, we're just not getting along and, you know, we'll, you know. But the ugly divorces, they're different. Very, very different. But again, it is something where you've got to... It's a two-way street when it comes to a circle of friends, a couple getting... And I've faced this.
It's a difficult one, Richard, isn't it?
It's very difficult
to talk about.
Yeah, it is. Because everyone is different.
Exactly.
You know, I've known so many couples that have got divorced, and every one of them I have dealt with on a very different basis. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what we're talking about. We're not as much talking here this afternoon about the couple getting divorced as the relationships around that couple that are affected by it.
Absolutely.
And these are generally broad strokes that will help.
They will. Maybe one question or one piece of advice will help somebody who's going through it and say, well, let me try that, you know, because I believe it's a hybrid. There is a little bit of failure there, but there is a freedom for the other person to grow and maybe do better life. I think it's a hybrid of both. I don't think it's one or the other. And I think we've got to be careful of labeling divorce as a failure, because sometimes, generally, people come out the other side a better person and they have a better life and they have a happy life. And I think that's important. You need to look after yourself. And that's one of the most important things. And as friends, we can help guide our mates through this very difficult emotional, where you can't see the wood from the trees. A time in your life. You have no idea how you've had a very good absolute divorce, and there have been divorces that people just they are so stressed, they fall asleep in a chair. The body just shuts down because they can't cope anymore, so the body copes for them. There's that kind of stress and sickness. And so, you know, I want everybody to be cool, and we've got to handle this life as it comes, and we've got to be cool about it as well. But we need to learn how to care about ourselves, firstly, and then care about others. And hopefully what we do here on the show does that. And I hope today, helping somebody going through the worst time of their life, there is a ray of hope at the end of the tunnel.
But also helping the friends of those people.
Exactly. Well, that's part of the healing, isn't it? That the friends don't leave.
Yeah.
They're there for them. Yeah.
Or family for that
reason. Oh, exactly. 100%.
All right. Well, there we go. What was this comment here? Getting married is so easy, but ending... ending of the marriage is so hard, and soul destroying with so many lives that are affected. The loss of all the dreams to people is so devastating. Yeah, look, I agree with that. Here's another comment here. We have good friends. He dropped the bomb on her on Monday. She didn't see it coming. I'm so angry with him. I love him to bits. Don't want to see him right now. Don't know how to handle it. Perhaps I need a therapist because she is now crying on my shoulder. So,
yeah.
Okay, that's what I was talking about.
Exactly.
That's what I was talking about. Very, very good. And a very, very honest. I'm not going to mention the name yet.
I was going to say, that's a very honest comment. I'm angry with him. I don't want to see him. That's a reaction.
That is a reaction, but does love him to bits.
Yeah.
That is normal.
Yes, normal.
And it's like your child does something that makes you really very angry. It doesn't mean you love your child any less.
Yeah.
And over time, you will get over it and things will settle down. And I think there's just a natural process that needs to play out here. But I'm no counselor.
But one thing that I know you're angry, and of course it's hurtful because you hurt, right? So you hurt. I want you to maybe try and find out later. You know, you can't see him now. You can't talk to him now, the person who wrote in. Why? Why did he all of a sudden just leave? Because it doesn't happen all of a sudden. Divorce doesn't happen over the Easter weekend.
No.
It happens over months and years.
Yeah.
Maybe try and find out why.
Yeah.
Because it's behind closed doors stuff that you knew maybe nothing about, that he was getting hurt and hurt every single day of his life, and it just came to a point where he couldn't anymore, and he said, right, this, he didn't have the fortitude to say, listen, we need to go to therapy, we need to talk about it for the next 3 months, we need to do, it's been coming for a long time. Why?
Accidents don't happen, they begin to happen.
Correct.
You're absolutely right. I mean, she says here that she didn't see it coming.
If
she didn't see it coming, this person wouldn't have seen it coming, or anybody else for that matter.
Well, he's been holding on to it. Yeah. Can you imagine what pain that guy has been going through? If it's something he's been suffering with for many, many months or years. And I'm not taking side, I don't know the circumstances, but maybe there's a circumstance there that for years this person has been suffering from this person that maybe there's no intimacy, maybe there's just shouting, you know, you're an idiot, why don't you go and work?
No.
It's not this case, I'm not saying, but why? Mm. There's always a why.
Yeah, I would say to this person that, yes, I mean, if you've got the means and the resources to see a therapist and it's that important to you, hey, why not?
Of course, look after yourself.
But I don't think that it necessarily has to be a therapist. It can just be a detached, willing third party. Somebody who's going to be able to have a cup of coffee with you, probably doesn't even know the couple that well, and can give you an objective view, and you can go back and look at it. I certainly do hope that over time there is forgiveness all around you.
Depends what happens, though.
Yes.
If it's infidelity, there can be no forgiveness. Okay?
Well, there can be sometimes for that, too.
Sometimes, but not from, you know, I'm cross with you, you cheated on my friend, you know, what's the matter with you?
I don't know what the statistics are on it, Jeff. Maybe you can do some research into it. But the number of divorces that have been fiery, that ultimately versus, say, 100 divorces that were fiery and, you know, brimstone and court cases and I hate you.
Those are money divorces, by the way, where there's lots of money to be argued about.
But when the dust settles, how many of those actually does the animosity remain? over time.
Interesting. Okay, well, I'm sure they've done research. Yeah. We'll do some research on that and we'll get some photos.
Because I'm pretty sure that in the greater majority, to my gut feel, it's the greater majority, people eventually learn to forgive and forget and move on.
Yeah, sure.
And it's not worth it and let it go. But I certainly hope that this person is able to find the ability to help the friend who's now crying on their shoulder, but also to understand
why.
Because, you know, it would be a very different situation if this message meant, I don't want to see him right now because I hate the sight of him. But that's not what's been said yet.
No. Yeah, it's sad, eh?
Yeah, that's not what's been said yet. So, yeah, I certainly hope that that is possible.
Yeah.
All right, we could talk about this forever. And everybody's circumstances are going to be different. And, and there is not a one brush paints all. Or what? One size fits all, or you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to
I know what you're trying to say.
Well,
You're doing well.
I'm okay. All right. Now it's time for you to go because I've got music to play and quite frankly, I've seen enough of you.
Okay. Well, there we go. See you in 2 weeks. Thanks, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cheers. Bye.
I'll count the sleeves. Ciao.